Well, I'm out here in San Diego because tomorrow we have a major meet and greet, 10 o'clock in the morning at the Science of Aliens exhibit, Saturday morning at the San Diego Air and Space Museum. I've never been there before, so I'm looking forward to it. Now, the station Kogo gave out 400 plus free tickets. They're all gone. The museum has space for some more of you, but you've got to pay the normal museum price to see the exhibit and to get in. All the freebies are gone. So if you want to come by, there's still room for you, but you're going to have to pay a little bit for the museum price to get in. And one of the people out here, they're telling me how the astronauts went to this Air and Space Museum several years ago. And he said, boy, that Buzz Aldrin guy, he's pretty wired, isn't he? And I said, yeah, he sure is. I guess once you've been to the moon, you come back with a different outlook of life, don't you? Well, we've got open lines for you this hour. Get ready on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Now, don't forget, when you go to bed Saturday night into Sunday morning, turn your clock ahead 1 hour. So many people forget that. Only two states in the nation do not do daylight saving time. That is Hawaii and Arizona. But for you, turn your clock ahead 1 hour if you're not in Hawaii or Arizona, and you'll be all set up, daylight saving time. And those of you in the New York area listening to us wherever you can, on April 5th, brand new affiliate, WOR, one of the historical radio stations of all time. Looking forward to being on that monster station. April 5th, we start on Monday night. So those of you in New York, that's where we will be beginning on that day. Huge, massive station going all around the East Coast. Let's go to San Jose, California. Bruce, get us started. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, sir. Have you ever considered this opinion that Iran is not going to nuke Israel? Because if they did, they would be destroying the second most religious artifact the Muslims have. In fact, if they did that, maybe Saudi Arabia would nuke them. So I believe that by 2012, you're going to find that they will have the capability, the payload, and the vehicle to reach Rome. Because if they get a Catholic-Muslim war going, they can get their holy man out of the well.
Well, let me ask you this, Bruce. Do you feel comfortable knowing that Iran is working on nukes?
No, no, not at all.
No, either do I. You know, one of the reasons, of course, you know, and I've said time and time again, Ahmadinejad has publicly said, regardless of how people have interpreted what he has said in Farsi, there's no question he doesn't believe the Holocaust ever happened. He wants to annihilate Israel. He wants to annihilate us, you know. You just got to feel uncomfortable with somebody who's working on developing a nuke who speaks that kind of rhetoric. Now, it could be just all rhetoric, but the fact is he's saying it. I don't see President Barack Obama running around saying we're going to nuke all of you or we're going to eliminate all of you. It's a big difference, and I just feel uncomfortable. You know, nobody wants war. Nobody. 9 years Navy, I don't want war. But I just wish we'd have countries that would start speaking, you know, a little more intelligently about what's going on out there. My gosh. Let's go to Fresno, California. Ruben, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ruben.
How you doing, George?
Okay. All is well.
I guess I wanted to talk about the correlation between the Hopi Indians and the Mayans and the Egyptians, and what they all say about 2012.
Okay, Hopi prophecy. It's one of the best. Go ahead.
And the blue star they talk about.
Yes.
Okay. I think the blue star was that that thing that was over Norway, the swirl in the sky
that had the blue light in the middle of it.
Yes. That's what I think the blue star was.
That's interesting.
And I think those prophecies are coming true. A lot of people don't want to believe it, but, well, I just think all these prophecies, you know, when it comes to the Bible, Revelations, and the whole few prophecies, and the Mayan, the long count that ends in 2012, December 21st, 2012, I think they all have a correlation together.
Do you think the Antichrist is here now?
I don't think the Antichrist is going to come until later, after everything that, after the world is cleansed. I think in 2065, the Antichrist will probably be coming. That's what they say, at least. I don't know.
Well, and you know, with the book of Revelation and Apocalypse, eventually, at the end of it, things will get better for everybody who happens to remain on this planet. But for those who are going through this tribulation, it's not going to be easy at all. You know, I don't know. You know, historically, civilizations have always felt that they were in the apocalypse, all of them, every one, and none of them happened to be in the apocalypse. Does that make us any different? I don't know. But, you know, there are some strange signs that you have to read in the book of Revelation and you interpret it. You said when Israel becomes a nation again. 1948, it happened. That's when a lot of people think the clock started. And if that's true, we are right in it. Let's go to the Skype line. Chris is in West Virginia. Let's see how you're doing, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, this is George?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. I have a little bit of a ghost tale for you, sir.
Okay, let's go.
I was working on my desktop in the lower portion of my home, and I get this odd presence coming right from behind me, and I was just doing routine home searching and checking out coast-to-coast site, and I look up, and I see a shadow behind me of what appears to be a female form. Best way to tell was from the hair. It didn't seem male. It seemed like a long-haired female.
Okay.
And I turn around. No one's behind me. No one's in the house. I'm all by myself. The only other creature in the house was my dog. And I'm like, first off, this was creepy. I'm like, okay.
And did the dog sense anything, Chris?
No, the dog was in the total other end of the house, passed out, asleep.
Okay. Good watchdog that it is, huh?
Yeah, he's my goober, but I love him to death.
Okay.
To get an idea from watching, like, Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel, I decided to see how tall this form was using my height as a basis. And I kind of lined myself up to where the shadow was, and the person would have had to been standing over my shoulder.
So pretty good size.
Pretty good size. Like, the person was just seeing what I was looking at on the computer, following what I was, you know, looking at the time. I think at the time it was Facebook. So it was like someone wanted to see what the whole internet craze was. It was just an odd, creepy feeling.
Did you feel threatened at any time, Chris?
No, it was just like I just felt the female presence in the room. And right before I looked up, it was just like I knew someone was in the room. I knew it was female. When I looked up, I saw the shadow of what appeared to be a female with flowing hair, what would be a female with flowing hair.
And then it was gone.
Then it was just gone. Like it turned around and walked away, or what would have the person would have backed up and left the room.
So when you were looking at Facebook, I mean, what did you have up on your screen that this thing would be interested in?
The wall, my front page of the wall that people would post comments and stuff on, general information. At the time, it could have been anything from a post from Richard C. Hoagland, or it could have been your page for all I could remember, so it could have been anything at the time.
That is weird. Okay, that is weird. Okay, I don't have a Facebook personally. There is a fan page out there, but I don't have those. There's a couple imposters out there, though, just so you know. They're trying to take them down. Lake Tahoe, California, we go. In Lake Tahoe, Travis, it's your turn west of the Rockies. Hey, Travis.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to talk about Bigfoot really quickly, if I could.
Yeah,
there was
absolutely.
A show on not too long ago on the Coast East Coast about Bigfoot, and, you know, there are shows on every now and then. And one thing that kind of gets me is that I don't really prefer to actually map the locations of Bigfoot, anything like that. And I'm a geoscientist. I make maps for a living.
I tell you what, Travis, try to call back. I'm losing your line. You're kind of fading out. But let me tell you a little bit about Bigfoot, if I can. I'm a believer in that creature existing. Too many people have seen too many strange things out there. And I share, like you do, the big question, where are they? How come we don't capture one? How come we haven't seen one physically with, really good pictures? You know, not the Patterson film. But I think they're out there. I really do. I think it's a creature that's between man and ape. I think it's very intelligent. I think it has emotion. And it's all around this planet. And maybe one day one will be found, but part of me hopes not, because it'll end up in a zoo or in a laboratory, and I'm not sure that's the right thing. Houston, Texas, we go. Rob, thank you for holding. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Rob.
Hey, George. Nice to talk to you again.
You too.
I got a premonition I had, or a dream or whatever, kind of shook me up. It's kind of like a meteorite, or maybe some kind of strange ship coming from the moon. And I couldn't distinguish whether there was hot lava spots on it, or kind of like rubies or sapphires and stuff, because it was kind of sparkling. And it came from the moon, and it just seemed so real. I don't know if we're due for a meteorite or coming to Earth anytime soon, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Did you see any explosion with this or anything like that?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it land or nothing. Kind of woke up out of the dream. I'm the type of person where I know that I'm dreaming or whatever, and I can kind of like bring myself out of a dream if I'm not comfortable with it.
And you've had some of these premonition dreams before, haven't you?
Oh, all the time, all the time. And so that's why I'm a little disturbed and wanted to call in and share.
Well, what do you think's going on here? What's your best guess about this?
Well, with all the earthquakes and stuff like that, and the earth moving right now, I just think the earth is reforming itself. And I don't know if it's to our favor, but it could have something to do with gravity and things like that, or maybe something's moving in towards the towards our protection layer. And, you know, seeing something like that, and like I said, I couldn't distinguish whether it was a spaceship or whether it was a meteorite, because I know if something comes in Earth, it's going to get hot. And so I don't know if it was hot lava spots on this particular thing. It was round at front, and then it had, like, streaks of maybe rock form. And it looked like it just came right over the moon, straight at us.
Well, I got to tell you, I would prefer a spaceship coming here instead of a meteorite plowing into the planet. That's for sure. Thanks for the call. Eric is in Miami, Florida. Lucky you, Eric. How are you?
Good, and yourself, George. First time
okay.
caller.
All is well.
Thank you. I got a story there to tell you. I used to do security work, and it was about 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. I was in the warehouse area, and I was listening to you, and you had I can't remember his name. It was the guy who was speaking about demons and stuff. He's a demonologist, I believe it is, or something like that.
Was it John Zephys, maybe? Might have been him.
Probably. This was maybe about, well, I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago.
Maybe Michael Diamond, but that's okay. Go ahead.
So I was driving around, and I'm listening to him. He's talking about certain demons and what they can do and whatnot. And he talks about this one particular one, and I started getting interested in listening to it. And I'm looking around because I had to search warehouses, but it's inside of a vehicle. So I'm looking around, driving and listening. And I don't know what it was. He said something. It was like a mischievous one or something like that. And all of a sudden, I feel this thing grab the bottom of my leg.
Yeah.
Now, George, I'm about 6'1", good 310, 315 muscular. You know, I'm not overweight, not skinny, big guy.
Yeah.
I threw that truck in park and jumped out of my truck. Drew my weapon, looked around, searched the truck, nothing. I was totally freaked out. It was a good one. It scared the hell out of me, though.
I mean, for how many days did you feel strange sitting in the car?
Oh, every night for a good week or so, I just drove around with a high top, looking around. I checked the trunk. I checked everywhere inside the SUV. The trunk was, nothing was inside. I thought maybe something might be my imagination or something. But nope.
You folks who work security have the toughest job sometimes because you're always working at night and it's always scary.
Yeah, that it is.
So many things happen. Eric, thanks, in Miami. Next up, we go to JD in Pokey, Idaho. Hey, JD, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, George. I just wanted to thank you for your show. It's a great show. Love listening to you every night. But I was going to see, what's your take on this whole end of the world thing, with the 2012, and, you know, I don't know if it's the mass media, but it does seem like there's a lot of, activity going on with volcanoes and earthquakes and the way, there's mass destruction. It seems like a lot more, or maybe it's just more in the media.
I think this is a very active planet right now. And I think we have just seen the tip of the iceberg, literally. I think the sun is going to start doing some very weird things to us, too. I don't think this is an end-of-the-world situation with 2012, but I do think something's going to happen with the sun. It's going to be a solar event. The Mayans were experts in astronomy. They knew things. How they knew it, I don't know, but they did. And my guess, December 21st, 2012, on or around, okay? I don't think it's going to happen right on that day. I think you're going to see indications as we are, and things will happen past that. But something's going to happen with the sun, and that's going to be a catalyst for a lot of other things that are going on. And this is a very active planet as well. Wait till the next full moon when that occurs. I think Birkeland's right. He's always seems to be right. We're going to have another major earthquake. And Jim and I predict, along with Cal Ori, that Southern California might be up for one. Maybe it's time for me to get back to St. Louis. You never know. But seriously, I really think something's going to happen, and the planet is active, and it's all over the place. This is a fast night, by the way. We're going to have more open lines in just a moment with our very special shout-out to all of you coming up also on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to send me an email, again, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. Those of you in the greater San Diego area, all the free tickets for the meet and greet tomorrow at the San Diego Air and Space Museum are gone. However, the museum is still selling museum tickets. You can still get into the meet and greet with that if you want to come by. Back in a moment with more of your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. A little thank you, first of all, those folks working here at 600 AM COGO have done just a remarkable job getting us on the air. There's engineer Mike Usher, of course, who you just heard talking to Glynis McCants. He's got a number 9. Ladies, he's not a bad-looking guy at all. Come by COGO Monday. Drop off a little letter with your picture, maybe a phone number, email address, and let's get somebody to date him, can we? We call him around here the Lonely Engineer. So let's get Mike married off sometime this year because of one of the Coast to Coast listeners. And I'll tell you what we're going to do, Mike, if that happens, we will broadcast your wedding live on Coast to Coast. I'm going to be like Johnny Carson was to Tiny Tim and Miss Vicky. You're too young for that. You don't understand that. But, you know, his little Tiptoe Through the Tulip song. He got married on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson about 100 years ago or something like that. I'll do the same thing with you. So we'll do that. Sherry Tennis, Promotions Director at COGO, thank you. And Cliff Albert, the Program Director, who assembled this and got all this done. And now, of course, our traditional shout-out, those of you listening to us on your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you. Streamlink members, thank you for everything you're doing. Just had a meeting with our Streamlink director, by the way, last week. And, boy, they're working on some new exciting things for you, too. So thank you. XM Satellite Channel 165. then the various chat rooms out there, the NighthawkZone.com folks, headed up by Bad Boy and his group of incredible people, Moondog, fighting back after he had quadruple five. Actually, that is quadruple, isn't it? No, that's quadruple's four. Five bypasses in his heart, and he's doing well, and he's just a brand-new grandfather, so you start getting better. I mean, that's the NighthawkZone.com, folks. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, MySpace Groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, our Twitter link up there, and the Southern California, they call themselves the SoCal, the UFO Meetup Group. They always have fun. And then there's our buddy Greg, the cook in St. Louis, who right now as we speak is making bratwursts, hamburgers for thousands of hungry people in St. Louis who are reaching into his barbecue pit, taking the food away from him as I speak. Greg, hi to you too. Okay, I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. I just saw earlier today one of the funniest things I have ever seen. A couple creative Coast to Coast listeners have put together, it's all over the place, I guess. It's on something called Jib Job or something like that. And they put spoofs of people all over the place, all over the place. And they are absolutely hysterical. They really are. Strange, but hysterical. Let's go to Grand Island, Nebraska. Tommy on the wild card line. You're up with us. Hey, Tommy, thanks for holding.
Hey, George. Nice to be talking to you.
You too.
I've had a couple questions for you. With these earthquakes that happened here lately, the first time the earthquake hit there in Chile, I had noticed that I'd gotten a headache that day and heard about the news the next day. And so that was a little odd because I'd heard on one of your previous shows about people getting headaches when an earthquake happened. And then also the other day when they had the aftershock, I had another headache.
That was a 6.9 too, which is as big as most earthquakes.
Yes. So I don't know if it's just a coincidence or I'm probably going to try to follow up and see if next time I have a headache, anything else happens.
Okay. And generally, the headache occurs how soon then is the earthquake?
I don't know. Within the hour.
Okay. That's what you got to start tracking, Tommy. And once you start doing that, you might have some great data. That happens. That happens to a lot of people. Some of them get strange feelings in their joints, for example. But headaches are very important. And if this is happening 1 hour after you get your headaches, you've got something you can start judging this with. We'll go to Memphis, Tennessee. First-time caller, Dayton, you're up with us on the show. Hey, Dayton.
Hey, George. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, my friend. What's new?
Oh, just the world's a-turning.
It stops.
That's right. First-time caller. Been listening to the show for a while. You got a good program.
It's good people who make the show, Dayton. That's the important thing.
I hear you. Yeah, a lot of the things that you cover, I'm interested in. You had a caller earlier. I'm going to run through a couple things real quick, but a lot of this stuff about, you know, the end of the world. From my understanding, like Revelations, that was actually written about Nero, Emperor
yes,
of Rome.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Is that not fact?
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, he could have been one of the Antichrists, you know?
It was apocalyptic writing. It was not.
Every civilization, Dayton, in the past, every civilization has felt that they were in the apocalypse. And you're absolutely right. Nero was one of them. He fiddled while Rome burned. Let's go to Syracuse, New York. John, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, John.
Hi, George. I haven't talked to you in a long time. The last time you and I talked were years ago. We talked about diesel fuel being $5 a gallon, if you remember the phone call.
I remember that.
Okay, great. I wanted to bring you up to date before you come to New York so you understand what's going on here. We have a discredited lame duck governor, David Patterson, who refuses to resign when you get to New York, and the attorney general was investigating ethics violations against the governor's staffers.
Right, and he backed himself out of it, right?
The Cuomo kid is now recused himself from it, and it brought in an independent prosecutor. But two other important things have happened that are not being reported by the media. And New York usually reports something like this, very deliberate, and stays with it, but they've had a problem with it lately. One of them was that the state troopers, the head of the state troopers of the state of New York, one of them has retired because he was accused of using his troops to get the governor's staffers and their girlfriends to squash what was going on. And now the second in command of the state troopers, now that the head of the state troopers has resigned, the second in command has resigned.
Already?
Yes, the second in command has now resigned because this investigation that's going on is uncovering more and more. But Patterson still refuses to resign because both ethics violations that occurred to the governor's staffers was their girlfriends being beat up by their staffers, and they wanted them not to report it and not turn it in. Also, a state senator from this state was removed from the state Senate for the identically same thing, George, ethics violations. It continues to the Senate and the Assembly in the state of New York wanted to rewrite the ethics violations to make them harsher. Patterson vetoed it, and then all this broke out. So there is no governor per se. He has not made a decision since. The debt in New York continues to grow out of control while you have all these ethics violations all over the place with Mario Cuomo's son, Andrew, standing in the wings and now has removed himself from the thing to become the next governor of New York State.
Yeah, there was some talk that he was going to become the next governor. Is this going to help or hurt him?
Well, it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him in the beginning because what is going on. But he was smart enough now to back himself away from this thing after his poll numbers started dropping, showing that if he stayed in there and worked this Patterson deal with now, as you know, George, Patterson is the long line after Spitzer quit. Elliot Spitzer with his very expensive girlfriends.
Right.
Resigns. Right. Patterson takes over, and now they're trying to force Patterson out. But, George, he only has 290-some days to go, and he's out the door. And he keeps saying, even though this whirlwind I described to you is running around him, refuses to resign.
Until this happened, John, wasn't he pretty popular in New York?
Patterson was doing a job where he was taking on the Assembly and the Senate in New York. It's trying to reduce this deficit that was out of control. But he is a career politician. The thing that you need to know when you get here is Patterson was in the state Senate for 20 years in the state Senate before he took over as governor. And he had a father, Basil Patterson, that was deputy mayor in the city of New York to Ed Koch. The deputy mayor, his father, Basil Patterson.
So there's a long line of political family membership.
But, George, they're all from Harlem. They are the political muscle of Harlem that came to Albany because the state Senate wouldn't listen to him, even though he was an ex-state senator. And when he vetoed the ethics violations, all of this ethics stuff started coming out. State senators, the governor's staff, his staff member, by the way, has been with him forever.
All right, well, let me move on, John, but I will tell you this. This is a story I've been following only because I'm interested in what happens to a politician who falls. They come in with gusto. They come in with support. and then they make some monumental mistakes and the bottom falls out. And it's happened with Patterson too. We're going to be back on in a big way on WOR on April 5th. So we'll get brushed up on that way before that. Thanks for the call. Cindy in Princeton, North Carolina. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And what I wanted to tell you was I live in North Carolina now, and I've wanted to talk to you for a long time. I've been listening way, way back from Art Bell.
How'd you get on the international line? How'd that happen?
I don't know.
Well, there you are.
You before.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Anyway, what I was going to tell you about was I was brought up in Maine, and I don't want to tell you exactly the town because everyone will know, but it's a little small town. It had 4,000 people population in that town that I live in.
I know exactly where you were, next to Bangor.
Exactly. You're exactly right, and I don't know how you know that. But anyhow, my parents, and I know you've heard of this because I've heard on your program before, you've had that guy on that does the end time revelation. We was brought up United Pentecostal. So I know that you know about that type of religion.
Yep.
So my parents were pastors, and they had a United Pentecostal church.
Okay.
And I had two older sisters and a brother, one brother, and myself. And my brother got drafted and went into the service when he just had turned 20 years old. Well, 19 years old. It was during the draft in 1970. Well, being he was the only son, my parents were just devastated. You know that. And it was during the Vietnam War.
Oh, exactly.
And so, mm-hmm.
He had a low lottery number, didn't he?
Yes.
That's how you got drafted.
And so you know that being brought up United Pentecostal, it's not anything for people that go to that type of a church to have their daily prayer meetings. And, you know, the ladies in the church will have their ladies' prayer meetings, and they pray and fast and that type of stuff.
Sure, sure.
So you know that wasn't odd. So you know living in Maine and how the houses are there, they're always up high, like on a steep bank. Like when you mow the lawn, you have to tie the rope onto the lawnmower to let it go down and then drag it back up with the rope.
Yes. Okay. I used to help my mom's family in Fitchburg, Massachusetts do that very same thing, or the lawnmower would run away.
That's right. So you realize what type of a house I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So when my brother got drafted into the Army, he went to Fort Riley, Kansas. Well, naturally, we didn't want him to get sent to Vietnam. So every morning at 9 o'clock, my sister and the ladies of the church would be about probably between 5 and 10 ladies would go to her house at 9 o'clock in the morning. They'd have them a prayer meeting.
Okay.
They'd pray for other things, but they was praying for my brother too, you know, for his safety and other servicemen. Okay. Well, this one morning, my sister was in her living room on her knees in front of a rocking chair praying, and she heard, because you know how the steps go up, you know, the steps to the porch, to the house, they're like two sets of steps. You go up, and then there's a little pause, and then you go up again. There's a long porch, these New England houses. Well, she heard someone coming up the steps. She thought that was odd for a minute because it was a heavy step, and the ladies didn't have heavy steps, and everyone was there. So she heard it come right across her porch, and it opened the door. And she said it was the coldest, just the coldest type of just freezing wind. You know that Maine is cold anyway, but this was something extremely cold that she'd never felt before, and she said it just, like, made the hair on her neck stand right up.
Did it feel evil to her?
It did, exactly. And she said it terrified her for a minute. It just terrified her.
I would guess so.
And it come right into the living room, and she turned around. She was on her knees in front of the rocking chair. She turned around. She said she saw just like the way she described this was like, almost like a picture of the Grim Reaper, only with that type of cape, but not with the sickle and all that, just that type of cape. And she said had the most blazing red fire eyes, and it was just cold, and it literally cooled the entire house off. And the other ladies were there too, and they just, one of them fainted. And the other ones just was no one could say a word. And the devil literally spoke to my sister.
What did it say?
Well, I'm going to tell you what it said to her.
I've got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. It said to her, it said, you stop this praying right now or I'm going to destroy your family. And what happened is, she said, I'm not going to stop praying. And everything it told her, she said, I'm not going to stop praying. But I want to tell you the end of it. At the end of it, my brother got killed. My father and mother got divorced. Oh, my sister, who was married for 21 years, her and her husband got divorced. And my mother's in the nursing home now with Alzheimer's. And our whole family's been screwed up ever since then. George, you know what? I believe she really saw the devil.
She may have. But don't you think the power of prayer, Cindy, should have been stronger?
Yes.
To fight it?
Yes. Yes, I do. But sometimes when you meet the devil, sometimes, as I've heard on your show with Jim Baxter, you have to rebuke the power of the devil in the name of Jesus. And she didn't. She argued instead.
And it got her. All right, Cindy. Thanks. That is kind of sad, isn't it? One more time, I'll tell you about the San Diego Air and Space Museum, because that's why we're here. We're in San Diego, and it will be Saturday morning, 10 o'clock to noon. All the free tickets are gone, and I'm talking about all of them. However, the museum said, we'll still let you into the event. You got to pay the nominal museum fee, so you get to see the exhibit. It's a Science of Aliens exhibit. I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. So, go on in and take a look at that. I'm going to get ready for this event, and Coast to Coast will be right back in just a moment.